The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Oh, baby, I'm talking money. Oh, Alan Bateman, isn't he? He's just been fined £10,000. Or is it John Bateman? I'm getting the Batemans wrong.
What's his name? It is John Bateman, isn't it?
It is John Bateman, yeah. I'm thinking of Alan Bateman. Alan Bateman was a good boy.
Yeah, he was. He was a really tough tackling centre, though, wasn't he, back in the day? So
John Bateman's a tough tackling centre or second row, but he's a bad boy.
Sorry about that. I'm in the press bench here at Stirling.
Oh, yeah, you've ripped me off.
Shunted about, so just forgive me there for
a second. Use your weight and tell him to do one.
I can't do that. These are my fellow journalists and friends.
Yeah, you're on a magical trip of rugby league. Where are you?
Tell
the listeners of the Final Hooter podcast, where are you?
Yeah, I'm over at Stalybridge Celtic, Bowerfold, and it's my fourth visit here this season.
Oh, you must love the place.
I do, yeah. It's a really atmospheric ground. We've got the Lord Tom Pendry stand over opposite me. There's the Joe Jackson stand to my right-hand side, so I wonder who's going to be stepping out of that one later. And then we've got just a terrace to my left-hand side, which is starting to fill up.
Hold on a minute. Whoa, hold on a minute. The Joe Jackson stand, is that in homage of the singer Joe Jackson or in homage of a Stalybridge Celtic player?
Well, it could be both, to be honest. Maybe he did play for Stalybridge Celtic part-time.
Is that where he's from?
I have no idea.
Not Googled it. Anyway, on this podcast, I'm not going to talk about John Bateman. I think enough's been said about that. He's been fined £10,000 anyway. That's a lot of money to pay out. And he's actually suspended for 8 weeks.
Yeah, it's a lengthy suspension, probably quantifies exactly what he's done, which we're not 100% sure, but we believe that there's a gym involved, we believe that there's damage involved, and John's been a naughty boy, but I'm sure he'll be back better and hopefully more disciplined for his experience.
Well, you've already given us an idea why you're there. Braff fans are slowly filling up the Stalybridge Celtic ground, but who's playing? Braff is one club, obviously.
Yeah, Oldham. It's Bradford against Oldham tonight.
Not really fair on Oldham, this, is it? I mean, Bradford, they're a full-time team. They're playing on a Wednesday. The Oldham boys have been in work today. It's been boiling hot today. And they've had to do an hard day's graft, thinking they can go home, put their feet up, have a nice cool can of lager, and they've got a Wednesday night match. Not really fair on the part-time boys, is it?
Well, then again, you know, we used to do these type of fixtures all the time, didn't we? Following Widnes and Warrington and Lee around the grounds, you know, so that's just one of those things. But you're right, the odds are stacked against a part-time club this evening. So, Bradford will be heavily fancied ahead of this game, I would imagine.
As for Oldham, I suppose, this game, it's a big point, big 2 points up for grabs for them. Do you want to maintain their championship status?
It is, unfortunately. They haven't been in the best of form over the last month. I think I've got it down that they've lost the last four, maybe five matches in the championship. So, so it's a difficult position that they find themselves in. A little bit short on numbers. They've had to bring in a couple of players on loan, like, for example, this evening they've got Lewis Foster, who they've brought in on loan from Lee Centurions. They've got Johnny Pownall from Lee down here for a month. They've had Tom Spencer for the past month, who's also a Lee player. And, so they've been a little bit short on numbers, a little bit affected, and I'm hoping that it's a good showing from the Oldham boys this evening.
I support for Bradford Bulls as well, under the new head coach of it, Ronan Smith. Is it Rohan?
It is, yeah.
Rohan Smith. It's a must-win game for them, because they're not going too good in the Championship this season.
They haven't, no. I mean, they find themselves at the minute just outside the top four, which, you wouldn't have imagined at this stage of the season, 15, 16 games in, you wouldn't have imagined them being so far down the Championship table. You would have expected them leading the roost, to be honest, with Lee Centurions, but they've had a mixed run of results, it must be fair to say. A couple of draws in there. They had to fight tooth and nail last weekend for victory against Workington Town. And they too have become a little bit reliant on maybe team changes. You know, you look at the likes of Lewis Charnock, who's come into Bradford Bulls on loan from St Helens. He had a try-scoring debut at the weekend, and much will be expected on those young shoulders. But
I bet Lewis Charnock's glad he's out of St Helens at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it, with St Helens, because they don't have a half-back. They keep naming John Wilkin in at half-back, and yet they've allowed two players in Travis Burns and Lewis Tiarnock to walk out the exit door.
And they're still getting beat.
Yeah, it's just it's an odd situation, isn't it? You know, so you do wonder, you know, quite where Kieran Cunningham's thought processes at this moment in time.
Let's get an idea. We weren't going to play him. I did tell you in the rehearsal we weren't going to hear from Kieran Cunningham, but I thought where you mentioned Oldham not being playing too well over the last couple of months in the Championship, and I've just highlighted Bradford. Let's hear from the man himself, because St Albans are on a dire run of defeats at the moment.
Well, Kieran, your thoughts on the game at Catalans? I thought the first 40 minutes you didn't get the rewards that perhaps the performance of the boys deserved.
No, I did think we was the better team, Steve. I thought we should have posted a lot more points, you know, early on, especially that first 20 minutes. You know, we was a good three or four tries better than that period where we had lots and lots of opportunities. But then Catalans are a great side and they come back fighting, and we just hung in there and hung in there. You know, we was in the grind for long periods, and we came out after half time. We got them, you know, two or three repeat sets, and then you score the try and you're back in the fight again. And you know, we just had a period where it seemed like everything was just went against you. You know, as a side, you didn't get the 50-50 call, sort of didn't go your way, and then it was almost like the weight of possession went to Catalans, and it hurts you. They've got great players who can hurt you in them situations, and they posted two or three tries, and you know, it's almost you could see the energy fizzle out of the players, and to credit to the lads, they just hung in there and they fought till the end of the game. But you know, apart from that 10-minute period, I thought we was super at Catalan. You know, you couldn't have asked any more of the players. You couldn't have asked of any more effort. We just wasn't quite good enough on the day when we should have got the tries.
And from what I can gather, the travelling army, they were singing from the first minute to the 80th minute, trying to back you and get the boys going as well.
Oh, brilliant. So the players, every player I spoke to after the game, you know, they commented on the fans and how lively it was. You know, you actually got more from the Saints fans than you did from the Catalan fans, and you know, I think as a group, as a town, I think they can be proud of what they're doing for the players. You know, I think it means a lot to them, and the players are fighting hard for the town. They're exceptionally hard, and you know, you're always going to get your knockers and your doubters behind the scenes, but I think your true Saints fans understand what we need and where we've got to head. So you know, as a group, we was really thankful for what they did for us, and you know, if they can keep doing that for us this year, then we'll work our best on the field and try and turn things around for them.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I tell you one thing, Bert Parker, they obviously never heard the boos of the fans in all the pubs of St Helens then, did they?
No, I mean, it's a strange situation at St Helens, isn't it, at the moment, because they aren't playing well at all. They're really struggling in the halfback area, struggling to really create. Although, to be honest, they were probably at the most potent than they've been for the last couple of weeks against Catalan Dragons at the weekend. But it's still nowhere near the St Helens that we've come to know and love, is it? You know, so it's one of those where, you know, he's under a bit of pressure there, Kieran Cunningham. I think he's starting to show as well. He sounded like he was a little bit strained in a couple of places there in that particular interview, you know, naming fans, saying that, you know, everybody's always under pressure, etc., etc. So, you know, it's an odd situation, isn't it? But I wonder what's going to happen there. One feels that maybe if they find themselves further down the pecking order in the top eight, maybe St Helens will pull the trigger and a change will be made.
Well, you really think they will get rid of the hero Kieran Cunningham? You think they really will?
We heard it ourselves a couple of weeks ago. The atmosphere there at St Helens was mutinous, wasn't it? There was a lot of people really unhappy with the way that St Helens were playing. The style that they're playing is not what they've become accustomed to. They're very much forward-orientated side these days at St Helens. And you just get the impression that, you know, the fans have made their mind up that a change needs to happen. So as a result, things usually do happen, don't they? Albeit maybe a few weeks later.
A couple of hundred fans at Catalans obviously haven't changed their minds, because they were cheering the boys on right from the start to the finish. We just heard it in the interview, but I imagine that they're watching matches back home in the bars of St Helens would have had a different view of that one.
Very much so, yeah, very much so. I mean, I think that they've lost the mojo somewhat in attack, haven't they, St Helens? So, whereas before, you'd be expecting them to be whipping the ball out to the back line. Yeah, they're still trying it on occasion, but unfortunately, your likes of your Adam Swifts of this world, he's going through a bit of a rough time at the minute, can't seem to get much quality ball and having much chance to finish many movements. So, you know, it's one of those where I personally think that they're a struggling side, and I think that, you know, it's a bit of a mutinous area to be in at the moment if you're a coach.
Yeah, one or two experienced journalists are actually saying it's the worst St Helens team they've seen in God knows how long.
And I think they've got a point as well. You know, certainly it's the worst St Helens team in the last 15 years, isn't it?
Yeah, for me it is.
We've seen Saints wipe all before them and, you know, obliterate sides, you know, go up against really good Super League sides, turn them over by 40, maybe 50 points. But, you know, that's just not happening these days. You know, maybe the competition is equaling up and, you know, Saints have been one of the teams that have fallen by the wayside because of that.
One team that have fallen away from the wayside over the years, but have come back roaring this season, have been Hull FC. They've been in fantastic form ever since they got beat by Widnes.
Yeah, it is. It is a funny one as well, isn't it? For as far as Hull are concerned,
they
spent big in the close season, didn't they, to recruit some players. You know, they brought like Frank the Tank in, obviously a well established player. And initially, it seemed to be going okay. Then it went a bit off the boil. They ended up getting beat by 40 points by Widnes. You know, kudos to Widnes on that night, who were superb, to be honest, Adrian. But ever since then,
never plays lock him.
They've picked the socks up, haven't they? After losing to Leeds in April, I think they've gone, is it 10 matches unbeaten, something like that.
Yeah. So top of the table, and they're looking good, aren't they?
They are looking good. You know, okay, it was a real scrappy win that they had against Warrington with, you know, there was more mistakes than points, I think, on show that night. But, you know, they worked hard for each other, and at the end of the day, it's a results-based business, isn't it? Does it matter how you play as long as you win?
Yeah, well, for Hull FC, you mentioned the money they've spent this year. The amount of money they've spent over the years since they've been back in Super League, I wouldn't like to put a figure on it. I really wouldn't, but they've wasted a lot of money there. For a long time, did fall away on the wayside other than that one Super League Grand Final appearance.
Yeah, I mean, they've dished a lot of money out, haven't they, to a lot of overseas players and, you know, people that haven't really settled their estates at
as
home.
Ray, as
know.
Ray French says, you must go to Australia with a lucky bag, shake it and pull one out. Oh, he'll do. Give him 100 grand a season.
Very much so, yeah. I like Ray's summary of how teams do business, actually, with the Australian market.
Lucky bags. Down under lucky bags. So do you think Hull can now be the team to do it?
I certainly think that you've got to start fancying them now, haven't you? At this stage of the season, with so much good form behind them, they're playing some solid rugby at the moment. They've got, you know, Mark Snead, who's doing a superb job. Danny Houghton is running things from hooker. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he's in the top two hookers that are in the Super League at the moment. And, yeah, I think they're a real challenger, you know, this season. They're no longer a dark horse.
No.
You refer to them as a challenger.
I suppose the danger is, are they playing the best rugby now and then leave the worst to when it matters?
No, I would disagree. Purely based on that Warrington game, because they didn't play the best rugby in that, did they?
No.
They found a way to win. And throughout this run that they're on, they have found, you know, some good results at times and places where you thought, hang on, a loss is going to be on here. I mean, there was that one at Easter, wasn't there, against Hull Kingston Rovers, where Hull Kingston Rovers in front by 20 points to nil after about 60 minutes, and then Hull come up with an excellent 20-minute spell and end up winning that game, 22-20. So, you know, they've got it in the locker, and I really rate them at this stage of the season. I think that they are the challenger. They are one of the form, well, the deform team, and I think that they're going to get even better.
You mentioned the game against Warrington. Let's hear from Lee Radford. He described it as the worst game he's seen for a long time.
Worst game I've seen for a long time. Yeah, I can't. You know, it's clammy. You know, I'm sat here sweating now, but it's I can't put my finger on why both sets of skill was so off tonight. It was a bizarre game to watch, and the top of the table class, you couldn't make it up, I suppose.
Because of the knock-ons, just no flow to the game at all. Was
nothing.
There?
We couldn't get in any sort of build any sort of pressure because of that. Yeah, and likewise for them as well. It was just a. Both teams was intent on letting each other off the hook, I think. So yeah, it was a, you know, we're top of the table, and obviously we've won. I thought we defended, you know, well for the 18 minutes, and I thought, you know, we had to be really physical because, you know, their left edge in particular, and Atkins and Curry are obviously, you know, big strong boys. So I felt we dealt with that. But yeah, with the ball, at least we've got something to work on this week.
So it was an intense battle out there, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, and you know, in Mahe and Seeker and Curry and Atkins, you got arguably some of the biggest boys in the comp in their positions. So yeah, that was a battle that was, you know, worth coming to watch, but they want a great deal else.
Other than that, though, a good statement from Hull to say that you can get the job done this season.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we can. Yeah, we're picking them results up, but we're picking them up playing poor as well. So, you know, I suppose a pleasing, you know, thing for us and me in particular is there's so much more to come. So we get used to winning. That's not a bad trait. But we can definitely improve.
And with the try, score some nice tries as well.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, and you know, there could have been a couple of others as well. You know, the tries we conceded was, you know, what I'd call opportunist tries from them. So, to defend like we did was pleasing. But, yeah, we've got some skills drills to do this week, that's for sure.
And the coaches are used to stand up performing in black and white tonight.
I thought Gaz Ellis was phenomenal for us in the middle. And you know, I think Fatuli Talano was the only bloke on the field not to make an error. So that puts him in the man of the match contention straight away. But, Fatuli out of backfield was really big for us. And, you know, Gaz was as physical as he always is. You know, we're coming accustomed to it now, how physical he plays. And, you know, his hits, you know, sound a little bit different to some other blokes as well. So we're really pleased that he's doing the job he is.
And looking ahead to the Castleford game, have you got any injuries to worry about, or is it too early to say?
No, just Seeker came off first half. Obviously, Washi came back on for him. But yeah, no, it's going to be a tough one on Sunday because under Darrell's sort of leadership, they've always responded to not playing well. And you know, he was obviously blazing with their performance last night. So we're expecting a real toughie.
It'd be a real tougher to stay top of the table then, won't it?
It is, yeah, and you know, it is every week, and obviously other teams winning around us as well just keeps that pressure on. So, we just got to continue to make sure our performance is right, and like I said, there's an awful lot of improvement in that.
And how pleasing was it to see so many Hull fans over here on the Friday
yeah,
night?
Yeah, you know, they're enjoying the ride at the moment, and we're over the moon with that. We knew we'd bring a few with us, and you know, it's not been the first time this year. You know, Wigan was a phenomenal support that night, and both the Saints away was really pleasing. So, you know, if we're winning and we're playing well, although we didn't tonight, they certainly turn out for you.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Park, if you just heard from Lee Radford, he did say it was the worst game he'd seen, but he's just thankful to get the victory, and he was made up with that travelling support. Over 1,000 Hull fans there for a Friday. Just shows you, if you get it right on the field, Hull FC, their fan base can be awesome.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, to be honest, mate. I think that, they need a winning team, don't they? So they've got that now, and obviously the people are starting to come back through the gates, they're starting to follow in good numbers. And they're very vocal as well, aren't they?
Oh, I tell you, I love it when they do the EO Faithful, because it makes the hairs stand on the back of my neck.
Yeah, that's just you, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
To be fair,
if you knew the words, I'd join in. If you knew the words, yeah, the Yorkshire accent, I'd join in.
That's what we'll have to do. That's what we'll have to do. We'll have to get a Hull fan on, won't we, to teach us the words to Hull fans when we consider it at the end of the season.
Right, it is the loverubbly.com podcast, the Final Hooter, fight courtesy Radio General and loverubbly.com. I'm in the studio, as clammy as Lee Radford is. It's really warm in the studio. You're in the fresh air. Can we say there's fresh air around Stalybridge? I'm sure we can.
We can, yeah.
There's no smog around, is there? The sun's out, is it?
No, the sun's gone in. We've got overcast skies over our head. And,
oh, rain. Rain then. Always rains in Manchester.
We had a bit of rain when I got here this evening, actually.
Yeah, the reason you're on the road is because all of them take on the Bradford Bulls.
Exactly, yeah. Big clash this evening in the Championship. But for different reasons, to be honest. All of them in such of the points to try and keep up and away from relegation. Bradford to move into the top four. That's the destination for the end of this evening if Bradford are able to get the 2 points.
Well, we've been talking Super League. Quickly talk the Championship. What's been happening this weekend or last weekend?
Well, for me, one of the most interesting results of the campaign came up at Whitehaven. They were hosting Halifax, and it ended up being a 12-all draw. Now, draws are a bit rare in the league anyway. But to be fair to
it's a good Whitehaven, point for Whitehaven.
Yeah. To refer to Whitehaven, though, they led 12 points to nil at half-time. And then they were leading 12-6 with just 25 seconds remaining. And then, unfortunately for them, they conceded a late try through Gareth Moore. That was converted by Steve Tyra, who we know from days at Widnes, and Salford and St Helens. And that was a they ended up earning a point there. I suppose they would have taken it had they been, you know, right down there. And if you speak to Whitehaven fans, they're happy with the point, but no, in the heart of hearts, it could have been two. Another interesting game came over at Batley when, you know, Batley were playing over at Sheffield this time last week, and they managed to beat Sheffield by 24
points. It's not happening for Sheffield at all, is it?
It isn't. There's a big story that's emerging with Sheffield as well, in the fact that their investor, who was stumping up the cash and got them to be a full-time team, has pulled out.
Oh, that's not good.
He's been missing since February, so they haven't had any additional funding since February from this benefactor. So, unfortunately, they have been like holding the baby, so to speak. So the very future of the club at this moment in time is in question.
Okay,
so
let's carry on talking about Batley, because I like Batley.
Well, no, I think the big story is Sheffield, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but let's talk about Batley. I like Batley.
We can't just dodge the issue. But in saying that, you know, Batley's back on form. I think they've won the last four or five games in a row as well. So,
have you ever had a second favourite team? Batley's my team.
My second favourite team is Keith Cougars, actually, in League One.
My third favourite team is North Wales Crusaders, and they're just about hanging in there by the skin of the teeth financially as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they've had to restructure over the course of this season, but, you know, it's starting to get a few wins together as well, to be honest, North Wales Crusaders.
Won the Welsh Derby, so that's one for the bragging rights.
Yeah, so they won that one, and, you know, they've had a mixed run of form, but, you know, they're certainly starting to pick up a few more wins now, and that's certainly going to help them over the course of this coming season.
I was thinking about Rugby League in Wales, by the way. Ever since it's come about with your favourite team from Canada coming in.
Don't mention Canada.
Do you think the love affair of Rugby League with the RFL has evaporated with Wales, and now it's all about the new baby in Canada?
I think the
impression they've kind of lost interest with Wales now.
I think it's hard to say, to be honest, because, I mean, all of Toronto's funding is self-made, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I understand that, but I just get the impression within the RFL and Rugby League in this country, no one's really bothered about Rugby League in Wales anymore. It's a shame.
And that's a real travesty, isn't it? You know, because when you think about how good that nation is playing rugby union, the other side of rugby, then there's bound to be players that will want to move and you know, play rugby league, and they've still got to have that opportunity to do that, you know, so they need clubs to be able to play it, and let's hope that in that case, as you suggest, that the rugby league might have lost interest, but they signed it again pretty quickly, because there's two semi-professional clubs there that need the support of everybody in League One, and hopefully, you know, they can progress the game in Wales, because, I mean, John Keir can't do it all on his own, can he?
No.
He's tried his level best as head coach of the Welsh international team. I've only heard this last two or three years when he's been banging his head against the brick wall, and then he got them, you know, really handily placed last season, didn't he?
Yeah, without a doubt. But that's just something I was thinking about a couple of days ago, where I just got the impression that everyone seems to have lost interest with Rugby League in Wales, and everyone's just talking about Canada. Now maybe someone from the RFL might pull me to one side next time they see me and say, listen here, young lad, we cared about everybody within the Rugby League family. Hey, hang it's on. Just my opinion.
Who are they going to say that to?
Me.
Hey, young lad.
Yeah,
you?
Me, yeah.
Why, have you suddenly gone younger looking?
I have, mate. I've been using the palm oil soap, and I've had a facial, hey.
Right.
Took 10 years off me.
So now you only look 40 rather than 50 then?
Yeah.
Yeah, special.
Okay. Before we heard from Lee Radford, so it's only fair that for me we hear from Hull FC's best player. He's the machine. He makes them tick. Any ideas you're on about?
I'm thinking. It's not Danny Houghton, is it?
Certainly is. You read my mind, and you're in Manchester. Just shows you the show's not put together, is it?
Definitely.
Yeah, and he even agreed, he turned around and said that for a top of the table clash, this was against the game against Warrington, it was not pretty, but they'll take the win despite its unprettiness.
Yeah, mate, it was a bit, you know, for a top of the table clash it wasn't very pretty, but, you know, we're not too fussed about the prettiness as long as we get the 2 points and, you know, keep getting the 2 points moving into the Super 8s.
You mentioned it wasn't pretty. Have you ever been involved in a game where there's been so many knock-ons?
No, probably not, no. To be fair, the ball was like soap, it was real dewy and stuff, but, you know, we need to fix up for next week going into the Castleford game, because, you know, they're a real good team at home, and, you know, we'll need to be at our very best again.
Must you please to have got the tries on the board and come away with the victory, though?
Oh, yeah, 100%, to come to Warrington, know, and take the points. It's always a massive result, regardless of what the significance of the game was. But you know, to send us 4 points clear as them is very pleasing, and you know, hopefully it can continue.
As you know, this is influence at half time. What was the mood like?
Same, we was pleased, but you know, obviously we knew we had loads of improvement in us. But we thought if we could just complete a little bit higher percentage, you know, and play good field position, we could, you know, we could come out with a result. And I thought, you know, it wasn't real pretty second half, but it was a lot prettier than the first half, and we managed to do enough.
Bit off putting when it's like that, because there's no real flow to the game, was there?
No, that's right. Just a bit, you know, stop start all the time, and you know, we couldn't really get no momentum in the game. Neither could Warrington, which both teams play off, and they both had the best like that. But nevertheless, we managed to get over the line and we win again. So we'll move on to next week now and scrap that one.
You'd say it's not pissy, but it's a real battle out there at the times.
Yeah, 100%. Two massive packs going at each other. You know, it's always, you know, a massive clash. And you know, I thought our big boys stood up again and, you know, managed to get us over the line. But like as I keep saying, we need to improve. But if we keep winning ugly, we're happy with that.
And how did you feel you went over the match?
Oh, all right, mate. It was hard to get going. Obviously, with the conditions, it a bit stop-start. But, you know, I'm more pleased for the win rather than my own performance.
I'm sure the whole fans behind the sticks will enjoy the journey home.
They're buzzing, won't they? You know, they're probably the best fans, you know, in the competition. The travelling numbers, and they're always behind us and push us over the line.
You've been involved with Paul for a long time now. Is the class of 2016 the real deal this year?
At the moment in time, it looks like it is, yeah, but there's a long way to go, and we just need to keep plodding away and keep knocking them wins off, and hopefully we'll be in a good position come latter stages.
And if you get the job done against Casper, it would be a good week all round?
Oh, 100%. We're just taking game by game, and you know, Castleford's next week, and you know, we'll work hard in training, and you know, look to get another one knocked off.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Danny Houghton there, Parky. Do you think he's 100% happy?
I do get the feeling that, yeah, they weren't 100% happy with that performance. Yeah,
but he used the word 100% quite a lot there.
Yeah.
100%.
We could use it with us as well, couldn't we?
Now, Kevin Brown said turn around this week, and he reckons he's going to try and stake a claim. He looked forward to maybe staking the claim in Tony Bennett's England team come the Four Nations. Do you think Danny Houghton could force his way in?
I think he's got to be confident, hasn't he? For me, he's one of the top two hookers that are knocking around in Super League at the moment. He's got it out. And I think there's him, and I think there's Darrell Clark as well, who's been on form for Warrington this season.
He has, yeah. He's played a lot there. He's played a bit better than last year.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, it was always tough for him last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
First year at a new club, he was still bedding in. And I think now we're seeing the real Darrell Clark, aren't we? But for me, Danny Houghton, he's been the informed hooker for the last two or three seasons over at Holland. This is a Hull side, remember, that hasn't been knocking around at the top of the league. He's been struggling around in his doldrums a little bit, hasn't it? So, you know, he's been a fantastic player for them. He's a great role model for any young players to aspire to be. And, you know, I think looking at the way that his form progresses, he's crying out, he's knocking on Wayne Bennett's door.
I suppose the only real threat to him is his old mucker at Hull Kingston Rovers, who's now playing in Australia.
Josh Hodgson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he's been tearing up trees, hasn't he, in the NRL. Mm. Unfortunately, I don't see enough Australian rugby league to comment.
Neither do I.
Reading the reports, it does suggest that he's been a man that's really, really been on form. And you know, but this is what we want, isn't it? As British rugby league, as English rugby league, we want people that are fighting out for propositions. We want it so that there's lots of choice around, and sometimes you can look at squads and think there's nobody else to pick, but I think that Wayne Bennett is in a fairly gifted position in the fact that there's probably two or three players for each position, do you say?
I know I mentioned before when we heard regarding Wales what my thoughts were, so I thought, just to level things up, we've heard from the Yorkshireman in Danny Houghton. Let's hear from a Welshman, shall we? Let's hear from Rhys Evans after Warrington's big win against St Helens in the round before in Super League 21. And he actually fought the game in the first half against Warrington and St Helens. Warrington spent a lot of time in their own half of the field, and luckily for them, took the chances.
Yeah, first half, I think we spent a lot of time in our own end, but we defended really well. I mean, when we got down there, we took our opportunities, we were very clinical, so overall, it was a very good performance.
Good performance, but you must have been disappointed the way you just lashed away a little bit second half.
Yeah, obviously, like, you know, it's one of them, like, when you build a lead, sometimes you can go scrappy in some games, and obviously, it was disappointing not to nil them, but at the end of the day, it's hard coming to Saints and getting up the 2 points, and that's what we did, and we'll take that into next week.
So it's in your mind, isn't it, really? Even though, because wanting to be, play Saints before and being in front of half time, you always think, oh, they're going to come back and do this, but never happened tonight.
No. I think we obviously we felt good at half time, but we knew it was another 40 minutes and we had to play well. I think the start of the second half, we played really well and scored a couple of tries, and we just kept them at arm's length for the rest of the half.
And certainly dominated the middle of the field with the pack as well.
No, absolutely. Like, you know, I think Illy and George King, I thought, played really well tonight, as well as Joe Westerman as well. Obviously, we're missing a couple with Ashton Sims and Ben Westwood, but the lads stepped up, and obviously that's good for the squad depth.
And Tony mentioned it in his press conference, the guys who did it without really training this week, maybe you don't want to train all the time then.
Yeah, you never know. But nah, we was a few bumps and bruises this week, but, like, you know, the way we train, the way we didn't train this week, it's good that we could come in and put a performance like that. So we'll take that into next week against Hull, because that's a big game.
Yeah, you noticed it in front at half time. What was the mood like?
Yeah, mood was good. We felt really good. We knew we weren't playing amazing. We knew when we got down there, and we could convert into points when we needed to do more of that. So it was just about getting up the end of the field a bit more consistently, which we probably did well in that first 20 minutes of the second half.
Got 5 tries on the board. You were one of the try scorers. Always nice to score against Saints, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't have to do much. I just had to put the ball down. Like, you know, all the hard work was done from Gids by putting the ball in the in goal area. But I'll take it.
Yeah, without a doubt. And defensively as well, really spot on tonight.
Yeah, like, we've been defending really well the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we were a bit scratchy the 2 weeks previous, so hopefully we can build on that and carry on that for the rest of the year.
Have you said Percy, how do you feel you went over the 80?
Yeah, I thought I did alright. Yeah, I just want to keep playing and keep on performances out. That's just take it week by week. That's all you can do in this job.
You mentioned the game coming up. It's going to be a cracker next week against Hull FC, top of the table clash.
Yeah, absolutely. They're the games you want to be in, so hopefully if we get selected, I can put in another decent performance in.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Well, he actually did put in a decent performance for Warrington in round 18 in the Super League, but unfortunately Wolves never got the result they were hoping for. Is that a fair comment? Well, I think the answer Dave Parkinson was going to say was yes, that's spot on. Are you there, Parky? No, we played Reece Evans. This show's live, by the way. And he said in the game against Hull FC, which was round 18, we're speaking after the round 17 game against St Helens, he was hoping just to play and put in a decent performance. And I was saying, well, he put in a decent performance, but Warrington never got the result they were hoping for. Is that a fair comment?
I think it is a fair comment, to be honest. But just a comment about Reece Evans, you know, guy's in the form of his career.
He's lost his Welsh accent, though. I promised as a Welshman, he's lost his accent. Where's it gone, boyo?
Yeah, the guy's in the form of his career. And yes. I think that, at the moment, you know, I don't think there's many better centres in Super League than him at the moment.
Where does he lie internationally? Is he still England, or is he with Wales? Remember, he played for Wales and he swapped sides to go with the Welsh. He swapped sides to go with the English. Where's he lying now? He won't be near the England setup, surely. So maybe he might fancy his chances in having a word with John Kerr.
I think if I was him, I'd go Welsh again, to be honest.
I'd go back, yes. Definitely. Only in rugby league can you swap sides.
Happens all around.
One week English, one week Welsh, one week Irish, one week French. Why not? And it sounds like the atmosphere is building over there.
Yes, it is. I can't hear you, to be honest, right?
Well, not good enough. You have to go outside the ground and find a quiet spot. I'll tell him to turn his mics down. It is in the final. I'm in the studio. You're on the road. It's Oldham versus Bradford. I take it the teams are out now doing the warm-ups, getting ready.
They are. Both teams out, particularly Oldham at the moment. Bradford, I've spent about 10 minutes doing their warm-up. Oldham still in the middle of the hurt at the moment, but looking quite promising. Should be a good game this evening, and yeah, the atmosphere really building. I may have to actually sign off in a minute, Adrian.
All right, okay. Just thinking about Bradford Bulls, though, right? When they dropped out of Super League, they were hell bent. They're going to come roaring back.
They were very confident.
And everyone's talking about Leeds and Huddersfield struggling at the bottom end of the Super League, but Bradford just seemed to have slipped away up the spotlight. No one's really talking about Bradford being what they used to be, the big guns, and even now, second year in, they're struggling to maybe even get back into Super League.
I think at this moment in time, they just accept wins until the end of the season, wouldn't they? You know, whereas maybe at the start of the season, you would have been expecting them to take the competition by storm. But for one reason or another, it hasn't happened. They've had a few injuries. They've never really got a half-back on board to guide them round. They've had the brilliantly versatile Danny Addy doing the job at half-back for much of the season. And although he's a very, very good player, he can't do it all himself, can he, unfortunately? So, Bradford, I think, have adjusted themselves and maybe adjusted their expectations a little bit over the last few months when things haven't quite been going their way.
Without a doubt, and hopefully Bradford will... Yeah, do you think Bradford will ever get back in Super League? Surely they will at one point. Maybe not this year, though.
You would think so. I mean, with the support base that they have there at Oddsall, you know, it's... still really impressive for a championship club. They're averaging 4,500 up to 5,000 fans a match. So that is still Super League quality, isn't it? When you look at it, you look at teams like, you know, Widnes, and you look at teams like other things as well, Cass as well. So there's all kinds of things that have been, on there. So yeah, I think it is one of those where potentially yes, but it's going to take a big shake-up, isn't it? It's going to take someone getting relegated out of Super League. And to be honest, this season, despite how poor Leeds have been, despite how poor Huddersfield have been at that point, I can't see anybody losing their place in Super League.
Okay, then that'll be interesting to see whether that pans out the way you say it is going to do. But very quickly before we let you go, who's going to win tonight's game, Bradford or Oldham?
My heart says Oldham. The head says Bradford. And I think Bradford will... probably win it by about 20 points, but I certainly hope that it's a good game.
Well, there's not only you making journeys around the world of rugby league. Our man Steve Manning's been busy. He's been early doors this week. He crossed up with Sean Wayne, so we'll leave the last word to this fan of Hooter podcast with Sean Wayne.
Oh, Sean, another ugly backs to the wall win.
Yeah, well, a few of them this year, and I don't think we've played well this year in any game, but I think the first 25 minutes of that game was the best we've played, and then we went away from what we do well and allowed OKR back into the game. So a lot of things to be very happy with. The destruction of losing Dan Turgis and hurt us, but the way we've trained this week, you know, it was showing signs of a never say die attitude, and that makes me feel very proud.
So given obviously the Sargison having to pull out sort of thing, and then you're 10 points behind, you thinking the back of your mind, this is going to be one of these nights, so is a case of like being positive for the full 80?
The way we played, I never felt was out of it. I said to my assistant about 18 minutes before the end, we're going to get this game. And I knew, I had a feeling the way the players were playing, they looked in control, and we stayed in it till the end, and I thought we were the worthy winners overall. We made more metres, 400 more metres than them in the game, and more line breaks. So I thought we would go for the win, but I think there's a never say die attitude within the group. You know, the way they're speaking in meetings now, there's a real inner toughness which wants them to win these tight games.
Has that come since the defeat at Wakefield, or has it just been gradually coming where, you know, your group's wanting to have more say in what happens, so to speak?
No, it's come from when we lost the grand final last year to Leeds. In the circumstances, you know, we lost it. We lost the league leaders. We're coming back in after pre-season, and I spoke very honestly and candidly to the players. They spoke honestly to me, and I could see there was a real anger on working all year and getting absolutely nothing out of the year. And I know people externally are spoken about how close we come, but at the end of the day, Leeds have won three things and we won nothing. Although we pushed them very close on two of them things. So there's an inner desire with the club to win things, and I think that's what you're seeing with these ugly wins at the moment.
I know last week you talked about a strong referee for the game, given what happened 12 months earlier. Ben Thiel is one of our better ones on paper. Were you happy with him? Without getting yourself in the mire?
I thought the rook was refereed really, really slowly. You know, from the move call to I'll not bore you with the detail, but I've gone through every play of the ball, both sides of the ball, and from the move call to us playing the ball is longer than the contact to the move call, which is, it should be the other way around. So there's something going wrong, and you know, I'll have a chat to referees, and you know, I know they've got a difficult job, but if I need to do something, change something in training to make sure that we're, you know, we got a few penalties against us when it was a lot quicker than what the OKR player balls were. So there's something not marrying up, so I need to sit down and understand so I can change what we do in training.
So turning your attention now to the game on Thursday against Widnes Vikings, they were going through the mire themselves. They've won two, I think, in the last four now, sort of thing, and they're going to be a different prospect, especially given that win at Castleford at the weekend.
That was an outstanding win, what they did, you know, with the middles there out, and the changes they had to make. So great win. I know it's like going to Cassie, it's a tough one, and they did a better job than us. So I'm expecting a very, very good Widnes team. They played different at home, they're very, very confident, and they manage that pitch a lot better. It's a huge advantage for them, so we need to turn up with a good attitude.
Across Warrington Hospital
with a bigger variety of music.
This is your feel better station,
Radio General.
From the Sky News Centre at 8, French police have used tear gas to disperse fans after clashes in Lille. It comes as Russian supporters let off